The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, where it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Here's what he says, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day on to now. And as we talk about appreciating people, I think back when I was a pastor in Tennessee, we did something every year. It was called Appreciation Sunday, and it was called Flowers for the Living was the underwriting theme of that. And, of course, the Loftons may remember this, the Craigs may remember this, but what we would do is we would have carnations that was in front as our ushers would bring them up at the end of the service. And basically what it was is I would preach a message about honoring and loving people while they're alive. And, you know, sometimes we fail to do that. Sometimes we, in our busy schedule, we forget to tell people how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, how much they mean to us, and just life kind of passes by. And then, of course, then we walk by them as they lie in state, perhaps in a casket or maybe in the hospital and they're in a dying state. And then we kind of think, man, I wish I would have told them this, or I wish I would have did something for them in this fashion, or I wish I would have showed them a little bit more appreciation, a little bit more love, a little bit more attention. I know yesterday my wife went over to see Brother and Mrs. Boakley Sr. just to spend time with them and to take them some gifts. And I'm glad that I have a wife that looks into serving, loving, and helping people and never being asked, just always there, just always there, just always running and always loving people and always giving. And I'm glad that she is my wife. And I'm glad that we have the privilege to be able to do many, many of those things. Of course, many times as a pastor, as you well can imagine, she's running one way and serving and loving people, and I'm running the other way, serving and loving people, and then we'll meet up somewhere and we'll share stories about how we're able to love and encourage somebody along the way. But did you know it is very important to show appreciation while you have the opportunity to be able to show appreciation? You know, it's very important to be able to take and spend time with people while you have the time to be able to spend with people. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the church at Philippi. He is saying about those that are there, he's saying, I just want you to know that in thinking about you, I thank God every time I think about you. I thank God upon every remembrance of you coming into my thought life. I thank God for that. So much so, he says, every time I pray for you, he says, I do it with joy. Because every time I think about you, it's just the joy of you being in my life. I wonder how many people could say that about you. I wonder how many people could say, well, I tell you what, every time I think of so-and-so, all I think about is the joy that they have meant in my life. Not somebody that zaps the energy from me, but somebody that gives blessing to me. The Bible says, listen to it. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day on to now. These people were faithful. They were faithful from the first until the last. They were there all the way. Many years ago, I preached a message, and it was called The People That Lived Before Adam. Matter of fact, I remember preaching that message for the first time when I did pastor up in Tennessee. And I remember I used to, when I had unusual messages that had unusual titles, I would do flyers and handouts, if you will. And I would have our young people to go out through the neighborhoods, and they would hand out all the handouts. And they would go, and they would knock on doors, and they'd say, hey, pastor's preaching on this, and we want you to try and come this Sunday. And so we had an enormous amount of people that would come to church, and they just want to hear what that message was about. And so I preached a message called The People That Lived Before Adam. And of course, there was a people that lived before Adam. The Bible says that the ants are a people. The ants are a people. And so I preached about the people that lived before Adam. And we did a study on the ants that morning, and we talked about the driver ants, and we talked about the worker ants, and we talked about the different types of ants that they were, and what they were like, and how in the colony they had different degrees of responsibility, and we talked about the queen ant, and there was one ant that was the driver ant to me that was absolutely fascinating. The driver ant always was going straight ahead at full blast. He was the one that would go in and he would make the way for all the other ants to be able to follow. One day there was a man that lived in Houston, Texas, and he was having a great degree of difficulty with ants that was coming in to his kitchen area. And so he decided that he was going to capture the ants. So he decided that he was going to do away with these ants. And he tried everything. He could not figure out how to do it. Finally, he got irritated. It seemed like they were always going for the sugar bowl. And so he said, well, if I can't capture the ants, I'm going to protect my sugar bowl. And so he took the sugar bowl and he put it in the middle of the table. But he didn't just put it in the middle of the table. He went outrageously mad about protecting the sugar. And so he took the sugar bowl, and of course it had a lid on it, and he put it in the middle of water in a huge basin in the middle of the table. He said, these ants are not going to get to that sugar bowl. He said, there's no way they're going to be able to do it. Because he also took each leg. I mean, he just went absolutely nuts trying to protect the sugar. And so he put each one of the legs that was on the table in the bottom or in the middle of a pan that was with water all around it. You know, ants can't swim. And so he thought, I got them. He said, I'm going to get up the next morning and ha, 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 they're not going to be in my sugar. And the next morning, to his surprise, he got up and he saw that the ants, and they were still being led by the driver ant. They were on a mission. The ants were in a line, as you know how ants often do. They don't go. It's very organized, and so they go in a line, and they were in a line coming up that which was the side of the wall, and they were in fashion. I mean, they were in direction. They were in marching mode. And so here they are, and they're climbing up that wall, and they're coming across the ceiling, and one by one, they were dropping, parachuting into the sugar bowl. Now, that is called determination. And may I say that every Christian that names the name of Christ so ought also to have that degree of determination when it comes to serving Jesus Christ. Here's what you see, a testimony that bears witness to these ones that the Apostle Paul is giving direction to. And may I say that in showing appreciation, you ought to appreciate people's faithfulness. You ought to appreciate their steadfastness. You know, it's one thing to be unreliable, and when you don't show up, people say, well, that's just their normal character. You can't rely on them anyway. It's another thing to have such a testimony that when you go missing, everybody wonders, I wonder if they're sick. I wonder if there was a death in the family. I wonder if they had to go out of town on an extreme emergency. You see, by that which is the fruit of what you bear is by the way that people know you. And shouldn't it be good fruit? Shouldn't it be that we decide that we will be faithful to the cause of Christ? D.L. Moody said this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. And so it ought to be statement number one that we appreciate people's faithfulness. The Apostle Paul was looking at this church, and he was saying about this church, he said, look, I'm just letting you know, you that are there at this very small church, but yet this very small church, the church at Philippi, he said, I just want to testify a little bit about you. He said, every time I remember you, he said, something comes to my soul. Every time I remember you, there's a joy that fills my heart. Every time that I remember you, boy, I just understand that together we are fellowshipping in the gospel, not just today, but I remember when I came here, and I remember when you came here, and I remember from that very first day on to now, he said, I can look back with great joy and understand that there is that which is a fellowship that you and I have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May I say, that's the way it ought to be. The Sunday school pupils ought to be able to appreciate the teachers and the helpers because, after all, they're always there.
The bus riders, and of course, there are bus routes, and thank God this morning for a tremendous driving crowd. But this afternoon, when our buses go out, and they go out to pick up people, and they bring them in for our second service, may I say, listen to me this morning, we ought to be able to look out, and those bus workers, we ought to be able to appreciate them, but not just us only. It ought to be those that ride the bus, and they appreciate them also. I'm talking about appreciating people. Well, my husband's not everything that he ought to be, but at least he's your husband. Well, my wife does not give me all the fulfillment that I think that she ought to give me, but thank God this morning you have a wife. Well, my children sometimes disappoint me, but thank God that God has been good to you and that God has given you children. But you understand, I have my own business and my employees will sometimes let me down. But thank God that you have the ability to be able to run and have your own business. Thank God for the choir members. Thank God for the young people. Thank God for those that work in the ministry. Thank God for those that are aged, but they keep going. Sickly, but they keep going. In constant pain, but they keep going. Weak in their faith, but they keep going. Don't have much money, but don't rob God and still support the ministries of God on medicine. But that's not their excuse. They just keep going. They're fun to be around. They have a degree of faith, and they just keep going. I'm saying this, thank God for people that are just faithful. Faithful people are those that can encourage you. I'm saying it's one thing to look around and say, I wonder if they'll ever be faithful. It's another thing to look around and say, boy, I thank God they are faithful. There's just something about being reliable. If we can be reliable to church or to work on a Monday, don't you think with God's help, we can be reliable to church on a Sunday? If we can take and serve that which is a master according to the flesh on the weekdays, don't you think we can give God just the weekend at least to be faithful in our attendance to the house of God? There's just something about being faithful that is absolutely remarkable beyond compare. In our Bible college, I have said a couple of times about a dear lady that went to our church many years ago when I was at church in Florida, and she had become paralyzed from the waist down at the age of 16 in a tragic car accident. She was in the bus ministry at that time, as many of her young people, when they reach a certain age, are allowed to serve in the bus ministry here, and she was in the bus ministry age of 16, and oh, did she love God. Boy, she stayed out, and she went after people, and she was one of these teenage girls that just had a glow. Just had a glow. When you walked into the room, she had a smile. When you walked into the room, she was just the one that you knew that if there's going to be anybody in the room that was going to take you in, not make you feel awkward, but make you feel like you had a friend, it was going to be her. There was just a pleasant disposition about this young lady. She received Christ when she was 9 years of age and of course, came up in that Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, and they had a bus ministry. And may I say, I believe every church ought to have a bus ministry. And boy, she got involved in that bus ministry, and that bus ministry helped her to take her eyes off of her selfish self, if she ever had eyes in that direction, and put her eyes on someone else. The age of 16, she was with a friend. There was a tragic car accident, and she became paralyzed from the waist down. For many years, she would push her wheelchair around, and she would go out, and she would still visit on the bus route, and those that were teenagers in the youth department would push her around in her wheelchair, and she'd go out, and she'd make the visits. And when she got a little bit older, there was some other paralysis that started to set in, and she wasn't able to functionally move her hands like she used to, and so they got her electric wheelchair. So now she's in her 20s, still faithful to the bus ministry. When she became about 27 years of age, Dr. Smiles, she said, you know, I'd like to be a bus captain. Now here's a 27-year-old lady in a wheelchair, has lost almost total functionability of her arms, and here she is in one of these electric wheelchairs, and she wants to be a bus captain. She just kept coming to that preacher over and over again, and finally the preacher said, okay, I'll let you do it. She became one of the best bus captains that church ever saw in the history of the entire bus ministry of that church. She wasn't able to go up and ring the bells, Brother Wislowski. So what she did is she had an old cowbell. It was affixed to a wooden handle. And to the wooden handle, there was a hole that was drilled through. And it was affixed to a rope, and the rope tied on the side or the back of her wheelchair. She'd take that electric wheelchair, and she'd go up to the fence. And she would take, and she'd just take that bell, and she would ring it if she couldn't get in the fence. If she could get in the fence, she'd take that electric wheelchair, and she'd go up to the steps, and she would sit down there in that chair, and she'd have that old cowbell. And she'd just be ringing it and ringing it. Well, after a while, somebody's going to hear a cowbell. Because if you ever heard a cowbell, there's nothing like the sound of a cowbell. And so she'd be sitting out there in that electric wheelchair, and she'd be ringing it and ringing it and ringing it, and finally somebody would peer out the window shades of the window. They would come out to see, what in the world is this 27-year-old girl, what is she doing sitting in my yard, number one? Number two, why is she ringing a bell? Number three, what does she want? And so they would come out and they would ask her questions. And before you know it, she had the opportunity to be able to tell them about God, be able to tell them about Christ. Many times she'd lead them to Christ right there, sign them up to ride the bus. I'm saying that when she died just a couple of years ago at the age of 60-something, when she died a couple of years ago, you'd be amazed at how many people attended her funeral. You know why? Because she went around and she loved people and she helped people. And if somebody like that can do it, you and I can do it too. If somebody like that can love God and be faithful, then you and I can love God and we can be faithful too. I'm saying this morning, why don't we decide that we're going to appreciate people's faithfulness for God? Yeah. Statement number one. Statement number two, appreciate people's differences. Have you looked around this morning? We are different people. Not everybody looks like me. Don't say amen. Not everybody looks like you. Thank you. We're different people. We had different personalities. Come on. Man, I can tell a funny and some of you will never smile. You look like you have pain written all over your face everywhere you walk. But that's the way you are. Some people walk around and all they ever do is smile. Isn't that annoying? But that's the way they are. Some people walk around and they're trying to figure out the joke. So they have the look of perplexity, despair, and that which is a big question mark. But that's the way they are. Some men, when I get into it and I start wrapping up and I start hitting it real hard, I start running back and forth and I'm hitting the pulpit and spitting on the first three pews, boy, they start shouting amen. Well, other people just kind of sit there and nod their head. And other people don't do either. Well, that's just the way you are. Some of the men sitting in here have facial hair. Some have none. Some have hair on the head. Some have none. Some have grown in the Lord and some have grown in other parts of their body. Some are quick in their thinking and some are slow and methodical. One day, one guy was talking to another guy out in the church lobby, and he said, I tell you what, he said, I don't understand why you can't get it. He said, I don't understand. Everybody else is getting it. Why are you getting it? Why are you not getting it? Why, are you just slow in your thinking? He said, no, I'm wise in my pursuit. It's pretty good. Appreciate people's differences. Notice in your Bible, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, forbearing one another, says forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, he says, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. Now, wait a minute. Here he is. He's speaking to the church at Colossae. He's speaking to those that are there. And what he's simply saying is simply appreciate people's differences. Now, in a church, there is going to be differences. But we are God's people. We're not in the Moose Lodge right now. We're not at some bar right now. We're not in some heathenistic workplace right now. Hey, this is the church of the living God. But even inside of the church of the living God, there's going to be differences. You know, we all believe in soul winning. We all believe in being separated from ungodliness. We all believe in running buses and helping those that are underprivileged to be able to come to church, to be able to hear about Christ and be able to adopt that which is Christian principles and ways of living in their individual lives. We all believe in missions. We all believe in tithing. We all believe in giving offerings. We all believe in sound music. We all believe in helping the needy. We all believe in raising godly young people. But can I tell you, we're different. We all believe, if you would please, that we ought to sit up straight when the preacher's preaching and not talk. We believe that. We believe that when a man of God gets up and he opens the book, it's not a math book, it's not a social studies book, it's not an English book, it's the book of the living God. We believe that. We believe that we ought to take and shake hands and be friendly. We believe that we ought to be gentle towards people and forgive. We believe we ought to help people. We believe we ought to make our children behave. We believe we ought to set the right example. But watch this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says above all these things, he says, put on charity. He said, which is bound up, it says, of, watch what it says, perfectness. Now what does that mean, perfectness? That means maturity. He says, here's what you do. The older you get, the more you have to put on charity. Put on. Oh, come on. Have you ever had to do this? You smile to help somebody, though you don't feel like smiling. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever had to pray with somebody, though you don't feel like praying? Have you ever had to give that encouraging word to somebody, though you yourself was having a discouraging moment? Have you ever come to church when you didn't feel good? Have you ever come to church when other people offer excuses why they don't come? You overrode the excuses and you came anyway. Have you ever been that type of person that has said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to realize that there is some differences, and when I'm around these different type of people, I'm going to put it on, put it on. Put it on. I'm going to put on charity. What is charity? That's just love in action. That's being kind. It's being gentle. Now, wait a minute. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and let the peace of God rule your hearts. It says, of that which also are called, it says, in one body, and be thankful. So God says, let the love of God, the peace of God, rule the heart in dealing with those that are of the one body. Deal with those that's in the church. He said, let God rule your heart. Now, what does that mean? That means I need to put on charity and I need to love the bus kids. That means I need to put on charity and I need to love the church kids. I put on some charity this morning and I love the older people that's in our church. Love the teenagers and the children that's in our church. Love the poor and love the wealthy that's in the church. Love the red, the yellow, the black, the white that's in the church. Love those that master the English language and love those that have difficulty in saying an English word. Love those that are having a degree, if you would please, of needing some special attention because they're in a special needs ministry. I love them. And what God is saying, you love people even though they're different. They're different. And by the way, you will change too in the future. You will. Right now, a teenager may be a little bit impatient with a mom or with a dad because they don't have the stamina nor the energy that you have. They might not can hear as clear as you can hear. They might not can organize as precisely as you do. And if you're not careful, the younger generation becomes a little bit impatient with the older generation. And yet the older generation becomes patient with the young people simply because that's a trait that comes with old age. As we get older, we begin to be a little bit more patient with people. Well, some older people. There are some people you do not want to get in a car with and drive when they're present, because there's now two steering wheels, two GPSs, and two sets of brakes. But there is, as we do get older, the tendency to pray more, to rely on God more. J. Harold Smith, I hope you could get the book one day. It's called Fasting Your Way to Health, written in, I think he wrote it in, he was born in 1910, but he wrote the book, I think, in 1961. It's called Fasting Your Way to Health. One of the best books I've ever read in my life. I had the privilege of sitting under J. Harold Smith's ministry for just a little while, and he came to our church at Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and he preached that famous message that he preached on God's three deadlines. I remember the story how God gave him that message. He was training his boy. He had a national radio broadcast, and he was training his boy to become an evangelist. Just like John, you might have hopes for Aaron. And so, but he was training his boy to be able to follow his footsteps. And he had a dream that night that somehow or another his boy was being burned in a fire. And he called his boy up and he said, son, he said, you need to leave. He said, I just had a dream. You need to get out of that apartment. And it's going to burn. And he said, dad, calm down. It's going to be okay. And he went back to sleep and God woke him up again. And boy, it's just a horrible dream about his boy burning. And he called him again. He said, dad, it's just a bad nightmare. You probably ate something you shouldn't eat or something like that. But sure enough, before the next day and he returned to the office, his boy had burned to death in a tragic fire at his apartment or house or whatever he lived in, but he burned to death that night. Dr. Smith went through a great time of depression. Thought, you know, I don't understand. I might as well just give it up. Might as well just give it up. Stayed in his office, and he was thinking about giving up the ministry and getting out because, after all of his hopes had now just burned up in a fire. The one that was going to pick up his legacy, the one that was going to pick up his ministry, the one that was going to carry it to great heights was now gone. He had a great depth of love for his son. When you love somebody deeply and they hurt you, you hurt deeply. And so here he was, and all of a sudden now his son is gone, and in disparity and being very despondent towards everything else that was around him and going on, he decided that he was just going to withdraw, and he stayed in his office. And one night while he was still in his office, God gave him the message, God's three deadlines. He came up out of that office and he went out to preach, much like Ezekiel. Buried his child, buried his wife, rose up in the morning to go and do what God would have him to do. And he rose up the day that he came out of the office and he picked up that message, God's three deadlines, and he traveled all over America and he preached God's three deadlines. And they say that close to 500,000 people walked the aisle receiving Christ underneath that one message. Now, wait a minute. There's things that you'll face in your life, dear friend, that other people will not face. And be careful that when all of a sudden they pass a judgment on you, just realize they're human. Realize that they don't understand everything that you're going through. Realize they can't see the inside picture. And it just maybe they're not laughing at you. And just maybe they're trying to understand, but they can't grab it. And just learn to appreciate people for who people are. I mean, thank God for young people that's trying. I'd rather a young person come to our church and try than be out on drugs. I'd rather for a young person to come and give it their very best than to be out there running up and down the roads, robbing store after store after store. Hey, I thank God for a mom. You say, but mom and daddy, they're not what they ought to be. But you aren't either. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your daddy. Thank God for your mama. Thank God that they're there and you can hug them and appreciate them and care for them and show them what they need. Hey, and help them. Love people for their differences. I'm saying statement number one, appreciate people, their faithfulness. Appreciate people's differences. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. Appreciate people's efforts. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel. Appreciate people. You say, but they don't do it like I do it. Disciples came to our Lord one day and said, boy, they're doing this in your name and this in your name and this in your name. And the Lord said, look, leave them alone. But you know, hey, preacher, they're not doing it our way. That's okay. But preacher, you don't understand. You know, when I get up and I preach a message, I preach it differently than you. Good. But preacher, you understand, when I get up and sing, I sing it differently than everybody else. We know. We've hurt you. But preacher, I've got a different personality. Preacher, there's just, I'm saying this, appreciate people's efforts. You know, fellowship, that's not talking about, he's not talking here to the church at Philippi and saying, hey, look, you need to fellowship at a football game. That's okay. He's not saying fellowship in schoolwork, fellowship in house cleaning, fellowship on a fishing trip. Fellowship on a hunting trip? No, no, no. He said, let me tell you where you're supposed to fellowship. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel. That's where God said you're supposed to fellowship. Two men get on a boat alone. Before you know it, they start to talk about things they should not talk about, and it becomes a negative. Two men, two ladies, if you will, or couples going out to eat, All the time. Before you know it, they become so familiar that they think they're right in everything and everybody else is wrong in everything, and they become the critics of all. He said, here's the way the fellowship should be. He said, we're supposed to fellowship in the gospel. The word fellowship means companionship. So if I'm going to do it the Bible way, then I want to fellowship with those that are promoting the gospel. Hey, we've got things going on. We have a basketball league. We have a soccer league. We have a volleyball league. Those things are good. But in order for our children to participate, our teenagers or adults to participate in such an activity, they have to be faithful to all the services and soul winning, so we keep the priorities right. We have the bus routes. We've got 7 bus routes, 67 workers that's on them right now out there picking up people. But in order for us to fellowship, it needs to be, we have a Bible college. We have a vice president. We have 13 teachers that's a part of our faculty in the Bible college. We have those that are in Sunday school, and we have an A Sunday school director. We have a B Sunday school director. We have a children's Sunday school director. We have a teen Sunday school director. We have an adult Sunday school director for the A, the B, and the Spanish. We have 57 Sunday school classes. Hey, you can fellowship around some people that's serving God. We have a media department. We started our first media team this past year, and just a couple months ago, and it's starting to go real good. We got the deaf department, and it's going good. We got a nursery coordinator and 5 nursery directors. Hey, we've got Mrs. Hernandez does a great job with her children's choir, Jonathan another children's choir, Brother Nash leading a choir, Brother Palmore leading a choir, Brother Nosa leading a choir. Hey, we've got some music going on. We've got the soul winning with the coordinator and the 3 soul winning directors. We got all those things going on. But now, wait a minute. Here's what it's talking about. Get close to God and going a direction. Okay, watch. Can I help you out a little bit? Watch. Here we go. Those that play basketball, while you're playing basketball, here's what happens. You fellowship around the excitability of the game. Stay with me. All of a sudden, we have a cupcake baking contest. Woo! All the ladies say, I will produce the right one. It's going to be good. Nobody's tasted my cupcake. I can bake the best cupcakes in the world. Maybe so. But I promise you, while they're in the kitchen and they're baking cupcakes, you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be talking about probably cupcakes. You ever see 2 ladies go shopping, and while they're shopping, they say, well, let me tell you how we save money. Normally, no. It's like, look at this, look at this, look at this. oh, I can spend this kind of money. My husband doesn't matter. I'll just put it on the credit card. He can pay it off within 5 years. Normally what we're doing is where our fellowship is. You know, when you go out soul winning, when you come to church, I love our church. Don't you love our church? Say amen. That wasn't good enough. I said, I love our church. Don't you love our church? Say amen. Now, you can't get people out of here. Church service is over on Sunday night. Go home. And everybody just kind of stands around. I mean, because there's no bus kids coming in. There's no bus parents coming. There's no, you know, and so we're not pressed for a little bit of time like we are on Sunday morning. And so everybody's like, it's time to fellowship. You know, and everybody just kind of stays around. And they just talk. We dismiss the church service and they just kind of linger. But that's not bad. You know, it is good that you like to be around people that are like you for the cause of Christ, for the sake of the gospel. I'd rather my kids be friends with kids here than to say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm going to go over so-and-so's house. It's going to be okay. Don't you worry. I know they smoke weed, but I'm not going to. Dad, I want you to know that my daughter comes up to me and she says, Dad, I want you to know I like this guy. He's cool. Cool. Matter of fact, he walks cool, he talks cool, he be cool. Daddy's got some cool things. He listens to the cool music of the world. He drives a cool car. He eats cool food. And I would say, honey, he is too cool for you. Hello. But there's something about, come on, there's something about coming to church. Open up the Bible, the Word of God, that which has been inspired and preserved for you and I. It's a living Word. Boy, we open that up and say, hey, here's what the Bible says. This is what we ought to do. This is where we ought to go. This is how we ought to behave. And people get excited about that. That's the type of preaching your kids need. That's the type of preaching you need. That's what a change of life. And that's where we ought to fellowship. It'll help you stay clean. It will. Preaching a sermon one night, one guy looked at his wife and said, you told him, didn't you? You told him. Said, honey, I not even talked to him. No, you told him, you told him. He nailed me so hard that you had to tell him. He was talking directly at me, to me. He was running over me. I know you, she said, I promise you. I have not said nothing to him. But that's the way the Holy Ghost is. I said the other night, here's the responsibility of a pastor. The responsibility of the pastor is to be led by the Holy Spirit to be able to give the message, because then the Holy Spirit, as it's thrown out there, the Holy Spirit gives directives. Right. It's funny, somebody, same message. Somebody will stop me out here and they'll shake my hand and say, oh, preacher, that was so good. Somebody else right behind them will come up and say, preacher, man, you stepped all over me. But thank you. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that gives those directives. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying appreciate people. Appreciate their faithfulness. Appreciate their differences. Appreciate their efforts. And by the way, people change. Did you know that? I used to be on carrot juice many years ago. I love carrots and apples. I love it. California carrots. I love the red delicious apples. Oh, I love it. I have a juicer at the house. I've got a juicer at the church. One of the responsibilities of Rebecca Combes is when she comes in is there's the carrots in there and there's the apples. And she'll get in there. And before she goes down to help out and teach in the academy, she'll make me from some, I showed her how to do it. That way she wouldn't break my machine.
And her and Miss Cavanaugh are in there before I would take an intern to that office area, and she'll make me some of that carrot juice. Oh boy, I love that. I mean, that's probably my favorite drink in all the world. But I like coffee too. And for some reason, you're not supposed to do them that way. But I like coffee and I like carrot juice. I'm not necessarily a roll off follower. And but I'm saying this: we're all different, aren't we?
Amen.
We're all different. If I take you out to eat ice cream, I promise you, you'll eat different ones than I will. Hello? You like different foods than I do. You had different personality I've got. Hello? God said, here's what we ought to do. We ought to appreciate people. God said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made no mistake in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.